Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday morning, Friday, April the 12th, 2024, 17 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio today by Matt Morgan, kicking off the morning here on this getaway Friday morning. Another dreary day in dreary April 2024. I think it's rained just about every day this month. Matt, here we are again in the studio. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Scott?
Good. Now, last Friday at this time, we were broadcasting from a hotel room in Philadelphia. Differences between that and this. The pollen is certainly one of them.
I don't know. This is definitely better setup than what we had at the hotel. The hotel setup was kind of... I was just kind of, like, crouching in the floor. So, this is better. The hotel setup... It was a lot simpler, though. It worked. As simple as it was, I'm surprised it worked as well as it did, honestly.
Now, I wanted to wait till you got here to clear some of this up, because sometimes people tend not to believe the things I'm saying when I... Okay, now, you slept in a chair.
Yes.
Now, explain to people why you slept in the chair.
It was a two-bed hotel room, and so... Scott got one bed because, the hotel room was Scott's, so there's that. And then the other one I gave to Carrington because I wasn't about to argue with Carrington and make Carrington sleep in the chair.
And before the trip ever left, hadn't we pretty well sorted all that out?
Yeah.
Now, was it a miserable experience sleeping in this chair?
I mean, it wasn't the best, but, I slept.
Right. You could slip on the floor. We offered to give you blankets and things to sleep on the floor if that was more comfortable. Pillows.
Yeah.
I think people think we tortured you on this trip.
No, I just didn't want to make Carrington sleep in the chair. And at one point she was like, we can share the bed. You have your head at one end, I'll have my head at the other end. And then I was just like, no, I'll just sleep in the chair because I'm cool with the whole... Because at that point, my feet would be in your face, your feet would be in my face, and I'll pass on that.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like all that much fun to me.
Yeah, I'll pass.
That seems like a little bit of a sticky situation, as it might be. But she had this idea about sleeping in the same bed with people, but you sleep some in some other concoction. I didn't quite understand that. When she ran that by me the first time, I didn't quite get it.
Get what?
That idea.
Of...
That why would anybody want to sleep in a bed with somebody's feet?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know she had brought the idea up to you. I just...
Before we left.
I think it was the night before... So I think it was either the second or third day she had asked me. She was like, we could share the bed. I was like, no, I'm good.
No, it came up before, and I thought, I just don't see that.
Nope.
Being a thing. It doesn't seem comfortable. I think I would rather sleep on the floor than go in that particular rationale.
Yeah.
But it was what it was. Now, as far as the trip itself goes, what's your recap of the whole thing? I've been talking about it all week.
Oh, man. So, the whole thing was, it was a good weekend. We went to the Hall of Fame. We went to the Hall of Fame. That was great. We got to see a lot of people. Got to meet Jimmy Hart and a few other people. Scott, inducted Thunderbolt. We got to watch a whole bunch of people's speeches, including Paul Heyman's. Love that man's speech. He was great.
That went on an hour.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. Look, so I was actually talking to my cousin, and I had brought up the fact that I liked Paul Heyman's speech the most out of every speech given that night, and he had said that he also really liked Paul Heyman's speech.
It was a good speech. It just went on too long.
I'll give you that, but, I guess he had stuff he wanted to say.
I don't know. I just think when you're on a show and you are the first person on the show and you've got four other people on the show and it's already 10 o'clock at night, that taking an hour is a little rough.
You know, I don't know. I guess maybe he thought.
Now, if you're going on last, stay out there as long as you want.
I guess he thought that. Load it top heavy, I suppose, or front heavy.
Well, it gave us all the chance to do other things, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I got a load of pictures I got a load of pictures of the speech because, you know, like Scott said, it went on for quite a minute.
Ever. It went on forever.
It was a good speech.
You know, I don't know if it was a good speech or not, because honestly, I haven't heard it.
I liked it.
I was doing other things at that point.
You know, I'll say that I don't even really watch pro wrestling, but, like, it was a good speech. I'd almost consider start watching wrestling for Paul Heyman.
What did he say that was so captivating?
I don't know. He was just basically screaming into the microphone, and it was hype.
Oh, Thunderbolt screamed into the microphone, too.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, Thunderbolt's speech was good, but it kind of just, like, bounced around a bit, so it was kind of hard to keep. I just follow along.
Imagine
follow
that.
Along.
Imagine that he would bounce around a little bit. Imagine.
So, I mean, I'm like, it was a good speech, don't get me wrong, but, like, it was kind of hard to follow.
And, of course, we went into Manhattan. We went to WrestleMania. We went to Independence Hall. We pretty well hit everything we said we were going to hit.
Yeah. I mean, we did end up going to New York. New York was lit. We went to the Top of the Rock. That was nice. You can see basically all of New York from there.
This is true.
I think the trip was good overall. I would do it again for sure.
I don't know. It was very once in a lifetime. I don't know how you could circumstantially have that happen again.
I don't think you could go. I don't think you could. I don't know that the chance will ever happen to do it because of like something like that. But I'd go back at some point.
Now I do want to. We'll open up the phone line. I'm going to try and see. We're just going to see what the static's like this morning because we've had some issues with this the last few days. Doesn't sound bad this morning.
Doesn't sound awful.
All right, the phone lines are open. We'll give it a try. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Maybe the problem's fixed. I don't want to say that because every time I say that, it isn't fixed. So let's just say right now that it's fixed. So if you want to get in on the conversation, 740-383-9944, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Now, I think Jessica will be back with us this morning. She's been gone for 2 weeks because, we were gone for a week. 2 weeks ago, she was on spring break with her son, so she wasn't here. Last week, we were in Philadelphia, so we weren't here. So I think she will return this morning, as near as I can tell.
That's good.
But don't put any money on that because I haven't talked to her in about the last 2 weeks, so I can't say for sure.
You didn't tell her we were back?
Well, no, it's been a very busy week, if you can believe that.
I mean, I can believe it.
Oh, and by the way, there was some conversation. I guess I didn't say it the other night. We took Thunderbolt up to Tony Paco's on Wednesday night. You were along for that trip. Sean and you were up there. And he signed a bun, which will be forever enshrined on the wall at Tony Paco's. And I got an email yesterday that I did not see until I was off the program. But I got a bun, too. And now I'm on the wall forever at Tony Paco's.
Congratulations. How does it feel?
Well, I don't know. These accolades just keep on coming, and I really don't know what you do with these things.
You're going to have to retire at some point soon.
I don't know, but if you go up to Tony Paco's now, you'll see my buns right up on the wall there because it's very strange because that is one of those great honors because Tony Paco's has presidents, movie stars, people who are sports stars. And they asked me to do it, and I think it was partially because of the broadcast career, partially because of inducting Thunderbolt being on national TV last Friday. But I believe, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, only the second person in the history of Marion, Ohio, to ever go on the wall at Tony Paco's, Mary Ellen Withrow being the first.
Some good company there, Scott.
That's good company to be in. And number two, and our dollar bill from Eclipse Day has not come down. Now, what did you make of the eclipse? We've had fights about this all week on the air. People think I'm downing the eclipse. Listen, I'm not downing the eclipse. The eclipse itself, for the 4 minutes, was fine. It was good. It was whatever it was. I'm saying the hype of the eclipse, the traffic, the all that. That is what I'm saying didn't happen, and I think it diminished the eclipse in a way, because people thought there was going to be all this hysteria, and I also think that the news media talked about it so incessantly for a year that it just diminished it.
I mean, I can attest that there was little to no traffic on the highways, because we were on the way back from Philadelphia, and we had come straight through, like, you know. We went straight from Philadelphia, like straight from the hotel room to Steak and Shake for the eclipse event, and there was, like, I mean, the highway, I mean, the interstates were, I mean, you know.
Now, Carrington left you there. There was no sleeping in the same bed that day. She took off when you got to the Steak and Shake.
She didn't end up coming back, though. I don't know where she went.
This is what happens. I show up at Steak and Shake. I had to go down and get the balloons, so I show back up at Steak and Shake, and they had arrived while I was gone, and I see Matt there, and I say, well, where's Carrington? I don't know. So how do you not know she rode in here with you? Where is she? Don't know. She went over in that direction. Haven't seen her since.
Yeah, no, she got there, and then she just started walking towards the Meyer gas station, and then I didn't think much of it, and then like 15 minutes later, Marianne was like, where's Carrington? And I was like, you know, that's a good question. I haven't seen her since she got here.
I can't believe she didn't say to you where she was going.
I still don't know where she went.
Now, it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, you had 2 8-hour car rides with her.
Yes.
Neither one of these were what you would call life-changing experiences.
No.
And I felt that this was what was going to happen, because you and she just don't have a lot in common.
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
And my feeling was, not that there was going to be anger, because I've never seen an argument between you two, but I just always felt that basically there would be either a lot of no talk, or a lot of music, or a lot of very small talk.
Usually it was like the small talk. When I'm in the car with somebody else, I don't like to have them. Like, when I'm in the car by myself, I mean, I don't know how everybody else's car radio volume works, but mine goes up to 50, and I usually set it at 35, because it's just, I mean, it's pretty quiet.
Well, like, I was in the car ride with you to Manhattan.
Yes.
On Saturday. I don't think you ever spoke to her.
Well, I mean, she was also sitting in the back seat, and me and you were having more conversation.
We didn't have a whole lot.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know. We were listening to the country music.
So that's pretty much what I felt the trip must have been like there.
For the most part. I mean, we didn't listen to country music. We listened to, I guess it's classified as, like, Indian pop music, but...
Indian pop?
Mm. No, like, indie... And
oh, indie pop.
Yeah.
Okay, so no bonding between you and her.
She did, so on the way back, her phone was plugged in because Google was being weird and it kept saying,
I've heard this story, but go ahead.
It kept saying, that it lost GPS connection, so she had to plug her phone in, and, so we could use the GPS, and she had... So, and because her phone was plugged in to use the GPS, it was her music that was coming through the radio. And after like 30 minutes of listening to the music, I had pulled my earbuds out of my pocket and put one in my ear so I didn't have to listen to the music anymore. Because it was like, I swear to you, like every other song was Taylor Swift. Like it seemed that way to me. Every time I looked down, Taylor Swift song. And I was like, bro.
Well, the only thing I can observe, as I say, is when you got in on Thursday, now this is after your 8-hour car ride, I did not see much more camaraderie the entire weekend between you and her, or much more anything than I had ever seen prior, and when you got back to the eclipse event, same thing.
Well, I would say that, like, me and Carrington definitely would not be taking a trip together had it not been for the radio station, so, like, it was... It's not like this is a. It's not like it was a friendly trip per se. It was
no, but sometimes when you spend 16 hours with somebody in the course of 4 days, when it's just the two of you, at least you have some kind of furtherment of the friendship. It was weird because I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there will be a bonding experience. And the entire time, it was pretty much the same. She would talk to me. She maybe would talk to you every now and again. It just wasn't a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I'm not complaining. It's not like I really have words to say to her either, so.
Well, it was like at night when we would all get into bed, she would basically talk to me, and you'd be over in the chair. And I just thought, well, this is very odd.
Well, I don't know, there was also the whole thing where she had felt that I was moody.
Like, she did get angry with you. I believe she got angry with you on the trip. It started the first day, and it really kind of carried on. There was never any argument of or call of it or anything, but certainly by the time we got to WrestleMania, she was pretty sold on the idea that you were angry and called you on it a couple times.
Towards the end, I think I was a little, I wouldn't say angry, I think it was more so annoyed, but I think I was more so annoyed because she had kept saying that I was angry and, like, complaining the whole trip. It almost seemed that, like, she was right because now she had said it so many times that I was just irritated to the point where she was right.
Well, it had gotten to the point, and you did have a long drive back the next day, but the last night, I mean, her and I pretty well went down to the parties downstairs.
Well, I mean, it was, like, when we got back, it was pretty close to midnight, and we were getting up at 5 to leave. And because I was driving, I didn't want to stay up. I didn't know how long you guys were going to be up down there, so I didn't want to be up till, like, you know, 1:30 or 2, and then wake up at 5 and have an 8-hour trip ahead of me.
Well, and also luxury box at WrestleMania, you were kind of, I don't even know where you disappeared from us.
I don't know where I was during that. Actually, I asked Carrington. Carrington said I was just talking to Heidi Lee.
Oh, well, maybe that was it.
So, I don't know. She sent me a message and asked me if I wanted in that picture, but I was in the bot.
Did she?
She did.
Oh, okay.
She sent me a message and said, do you want... something like, yeah, do you want in this pic? I didn't even see it until...
See,
like,
I don't believe
later.
That's true, though. See, I believe... See... I think that's strange because the luxury box is the size of this room.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why she would have sent me a message.
Like, if she knew where you were.
Like, if she saw me talking to Heidi, I don't know why she couldn't just be like, hey, you want to get in the picture real fast?
Yeah, and also, I was there. The picture was very spur of the moment. So I don't know when she would have had time to send you a message.
I mean, there was a message sent at, like, let's see if I can't find it, actually. I was just like, because we were all sitting in, like, towards the end, we were all sitting up at, like, the last row of chairs.
But it happened before that.
Yeah, and I pulled out my phone because my mom was messaging me, and I had saw that Carrington sent me a message, and I was like, can you come take a pic?
Come take a pic? Yes, I do remember that conversation.
I do not.
Not be in the pic, but come take a pic.
I mean, I just thought that she had phrased it weird. Because I had asked her about that, and she said it was the picture with Jimmy.
Right, it was. But I think we did not have somebody to take the picture. I think she was clearly now trying to get you to take the picture. But it ended up being somebody who was standing there. I think Medusa took the picture, matter of fact.
Nice.
But that's neither hither nor yon. I mean, just a little behind the scenes.
Like I said,
but I think at that point she was frustrated with you.
That's fine. She can do what she wants, I suppose. I was having a great conversation with Hall of Fame wrestler Heidi Lee Morgan.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, I think I won out in this exchange here. I don't know.
I like the picture with Jimmy.
I got my own picture with Jimmy,
which I took.
Yeah, you did take it.
So I was there.
Yeah.
One hard trek and me down. So there you go. 740-383-9944 is the telephone line. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. The phones seem to be working somewhat well this morning. That's a positive. Now, as far as seeing a national television product done on Friday night, what'd you make of that?
I really don't think people understand how much goes into setting those things up. In terms of WrestleMania, WrestleMania didn't start until when? 6 or 7?
6. Seven.
It didn't start until 7. And we got... And the WWE had everything and everybody bust over to Lincoln Financial
Lincoln Field? Financial Field.
The Eagle Stadium. And they had us all bust over there. And we were there at like...
Two.
Yeah, from like two to like... two until the end of WrestleMania. So like they had been setting this up all week.
But it's not like it's the Bataan Death March. I mean, you go into a luxury box where they have every type of food on God's green earth.
Yeah.
You have chairs. You have cushion chairs. You have regular chairs. You have a huge window in front of you overlooking the whole thing.
It's not like we were, you know...
Darn it, we're going to stand in a line for the next 4 hours.
Also,
but there were people already there tailgating and out in the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, when we pulled up, there were already a whole bunch of people tailgating in the parking lot.
I'll tell you what, and I said it that night, and I am not a wrestling fan anymore. I'll cop to it. I didn't know half those people. But I have been to football games. I've been to baseball games, which is my favorite sport, hockey games. There is no production like the WWE does. The loudness of that crowd, the way they were on, everybody's move, the fireworks show that they do in there, which is also like the 4th of July, the light show, that is a production.
I'd agree.
I mean, it is. Have you ever seen a production like that?
I've honestly never really been to a...
No, but I don't know anybody else who puts on a production like that. I was trying to count the spotlights. There were spotlights everywhere. There were, the fireworks show when somebody would come out. I mean, I don't know how many times the fireworks went off, or the flames went off, or, things of that nature would happen. It was just the most... And the crowd, they love those people, 70,000 people in there.
Yeah. I mean, I'd agree. I think that the WWE has some of the more loyal fans in terms of a fan base.
I can see why people follow that week in and week out. I can see why consistently it's the number one show on cable. I can see why they can pack 145 people into a stadium over a two-day period.
145,000.
Yeah. 2 days.
Yeah.
It's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take the 21,000 from Friday night, which was a sellout. So they get about 166,000 people over 3 days in one city. And we did get the numbers. People were there for WrestleMania from 50 states, 68 countries, and 7 Canadian provinces. 68 countries. Those are unbelievable numbers.
I mean, that's kind of just... I mean, that's the WWE's thing. They'd go everywhere.
Yeah, but for people from 68 countries to make the trip to Philadelphia... That's a thing. And 50 states, all 50 states. I don't know that you could go to any team playing any sport and say that for this game, there's somebody here from every state.
Well, most sports aren't that... Like, most sports don't have... I don't know how to phrase it, but most sports aren't that wide, I guess. Like, the NFL is the biggest sport in the United States, and they play over in Europe, and they play in, like, Asia. But, like, they don't... Like, they play one game a year in those places.
I just feel like...
And so, the fan base for the WWE is going to be bigger in the foreign places because, I mean, they have, like, whole seasons, essentially.
Look at football and baseball as essentially having a home base. You know, if you are the Cincinnati Reds, you're in Cincinnati. If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you're in Philadelphia. Now, yes, somebody might travel from Ohio to see a Philadelphia game. Somebody might travel from New York to see a Philadelphia game. But the primary fans there are the Philadelphia fans and whoever they're playing. People from all 50 states are not coming to that game.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the WWE isn't a team.
Right, which is what makes it a completely different makeup. But yet, they do have their favorites. And they do have the people they don't like. And that seems to be pretty universal.
Well, I mean,
coming from 50 states.
I mean, I think being an entertainment business, you have to have people that are liked and disliked. I think that's why Jake Paul is in the WWE's. Because most people tend to not like the Paul brothers.
I think it's the money.
That is fair.
WWE pays pretty good. I think it's the money.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, they don't just pay anybody. I mean, I think that, WWE is sponsored by Prime, which is owned by Jake Paul, who is now part of the WWE. So I think Jake Paul kind of paid his own way in there, honestly.
You know, that's right. I'm probably sure they don't, the WWE probably has gained money on that deal.
Well, they did. I mean, they picked up a whole new sponsor.
Right, but I'm saying if you're paying him and he owns that company,
he's basically paying himself.
Right. So you got two things for one here.
I mean, yeah. But that's honestly why I think he's there. I mean, cuz he sponsors the WWE, or not he, I guess. Prime, his business, sponsors the WWE now. But nobody when he was in the ring, everybody booed him. Nobody.
He was the heel.
I think that the WWE actually likes him because it gives the audience somebody to dislike.
Well, the heels aren't hated, but I'm just saying that you got to figure he's paying, Prime is paying to be a sponsor on their show, and they're paying him a salary to be a wrestler.
Yes.
So basically, they got him for free.
I guess it depends on how much they're paying him and how much the sponsorship is.
I bet it's right around even.
Probably.
So, good for them. That's a good business move for the WWE.
Yeah.
So, but also, the main event. Clearly, they did not like Roman Reigns. Clearly, they did like Cody Rhodes. And
I would disagree. Just so
disagree.
Cody Rhodes has his walkout thing. There's a part that goes like whoa, and the whole stadium would do
they,
that.
They were on it.
Yeah, would do that part. But when Roman Reigns walked out, he doesn't have one of those things where he yells. He just kind of everybody had their hand up, just their hand up with pointing up number one kind of thing. That that's his thing. So there were a whole bunch of people who supported Roman Reigns. It's just not an audio thing.
All I know is they took it through the roof because this match on its own did not need any help being popular. It was the finale match, and then there were these two guys. I don't know who they were. That was kind of a side note. They got involved.
The one of them was Jey Uso, and the other one, I don't remember his name, but...
But you thought that's where it's going to end.
I'm like the enforcer.
Well, they fall off the stage, yes. And that's another... And then all of a sudden, the music, and here comes John Cena, who nobody had seen all weekend long at anything. Here he comes down, puts the shot on Roman Reigns, and you think, well, that's it. And then you hear the Rock's music, here he comes... He takes out John Cena, so you think, well, that's it. Now it's going to be Roman Reigns. Then the lights, bam, the gong hits and the lights go down, and when the gong comes up, when the lights come up, there's The Undertaker. Puts the smack down on the Rock, the lights go out again. They both disappear. Now we're back to the match.
Yeah.
And by that point, that building, if there had been a roof on it, it would have come off. I've got, there's tape of me and Carrington calling at that point what's going on, and it is loud.
Yeah, it was loud in there.
And we're not sitting anywhere close to the ring.
I don't think you have to be sitting close to the ring.
No, but I'm just saying, we are in a box. We're not even technically sitting in the stadium.
But the windows were open.
The windows were open. You just listen to it. I could barely hear her in the conversation we were trying to have. It was an interesting moment.
I think so.
So, I can see why there have been 40 WrestleManias, and I can see why it's still a growing company.
Nice.
You don't?
I mean, it's okay.
It's okay. Maybe this is what Carrington did not like.
I don't know. Because Carrington had asked me what I thought about the wrestling matches or something along the lines about the Hall of Fame. And I was like, it was good. It was fine. I think I actually said it was fine. She was like, just fine. I was like, well, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the wrestling. It would be like taking somebody to a football game who doesn't watch football. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, neither did I, but I can appreciate, I mean, it's, I have eyes, I can see the crowd. I can see the show that's going on. I can see what they're putting into that. I can see the way the crowd's reacting. You know, I can just see those things. I don't have to know the storylines or what's going on to be aware of what's happening around me.
I'm just not a fan of the WWE. Like,
I haven't watched it.
If you were there, it was, don't get me wrong, it was good. Like, if you were there watching in person, it was good. I had, a good time, but I wouldn't, for instance, I guess buy a ticket. I just don't care that much for it. It was okay.
Well, no, I don't think I would either, but I don't think I have bought a ticket for anything like that.
You see, but when I tried to explain that to Carrington, she just said I was complaining.
Well, I'm saying you two had a little, that was an ongoing tiff all weekend that started Friday morning and really went on through the moment we left. I don't know what that was all about.
I don't know, you'd have to ask Carrington.
Do we want to bring that up?
I don't know, probably not. I think she'd say that there was nothing different.
Nothing different as far as...
I think she would say that... I think she would say that there was no, animosity. If she would...
Oh, I don't think there was animosity.
Well, I don't know.
She was not happy at the moment. I don't know what reason she would keep asking repeatedly for days.
I don't know.
I think once would have been enough. And that would have been good.
I just have an issue when when she had said that she felt that I was moody. I feel like once somebody says you're moody, it's kind of a lose-lose situation. Because if you ignore it, they just think you're moody. But if you try to defend yourself for being that you're not being moody, you come off as moody. So I kind of just didn't say anything and went back to watching YouTube. I was like, I don't know. I'm just gonna watch some YouTube here.
I don't know. I spent a lot of downtime with her where you weren't around, in the press box. We sat together the entire time and the party last night we went down together. And she just, I think, was really taken in by, and I'm sure she's not a wrestling fan, she was taken in by the spectacle of it all. And I think she had a hard time understanding how somebody could not be.
I don't know. I think my biggest issue with the WWE is that it's predetermined. And it's scripted. Might not be scripted, but you can't tell me that the whole John Cena thing wasn't scripted and the two people falling off the
stage. Well, no, it was, yeah. But...
See, I just...
But I think most things are scripted, like the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, but
when somebody shows up that you don't expect to be there, the crowd gets the biggest pop. But that's planned. They know that's going to happen.
You don't watch the Super Bowl for the halftime show. If there are,
I don't know anymore. After last year, I don't know.
There are people who watch the Super Bowl for the halftime show, but you will see the numbers go up before halftime and down after halftime. So there are people who are watching the game.
Oh, yeah, there are people. And there are people who come to see who's going to win and who's going to lose.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any different. As long as you don't know who's going to win and who's going to lose.
So, actually, the first match that came on, it was Seth freaking Rollins and Drew McIntyre. I think that's the name. But, Drew McIntyre, there were clips that had played before they had come out, and on Drew's he had said that if he did not beat Seth Rollins, he was gonna retire or quit the WWE, and I was like, well, you can't. I guarantee you, he's winning that match, and he did. He's now the heavyweight champion.
But no, he's not, because as soon as he won it, he got taken out, and that was a surprise.
So he quit. He's done. He out of here.
I don't know, but he did. Didn't you see that part of it? As soon as he won, the other guy cashed in whatever he cashed in. I forget what they called it. And he came out, and within 5 minutes, he was no longer the champion.
I don't know.
So I think exactly is what they did there. They set it up for people like you who said, well, If he wins, if he loses, he's going to retire. If he wins, he's going to stick around. He won. Of course he's going to win. But within 5 minutes, he's no longer.
I just don't see a point in having a, it's called wrestling. It's not, I mean, it's wrestling to the extent in which they wrestle in the ring, but there's no, like, there's already a winner. I like to watch, like, the UFC, because people, there's competition involved in the UFC. I'm not even sure how, like.
Well, I think there's a lot of competition going on during the WWE. I think they're trying to outdo each other. Who's going to have the best match? Who's going to be able to get the biggest wow moment? Who's going to be on the highlight reel the next day on the news?
I don't know. Just watching the WWE, it is the same exact thing almost that I watched when I would, like, watch it when, like, The Undertaker, Rey Mysterio, John Cena, all those people were still actively wrestling. I don't think it's changed at all.
I don't think many things do.
Football's changed. I've watched it evolve over the years.
To what?
A better game of football.
I don't know.
Some of the rules have gotten worse, actually. But, I mean, overall, like, the game developed to be better.
I think that certainly the guys now are more athletic. I think they're quicker. I think they're doing things flying around that I certainly didn't see years ago.
I
certainly think the numbers are higher. I don't remember WrestleMania every year drawing 145,000 people 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, 20 years ago, they wouldn't be as big as they are now.
That's what I'm saying. I think that has changed. I think something's going on there that's causing growth.
If anything, I think people like the storyline.
Well, I'm sure they do. But I think there's a storyline underlying in most things. The storyline at the Super Bowl was Taylor Swift. And the NFL liked it that way. Liked it a lot. Maybe they need a storyline.
No storylines. I mean, I don't know. They might. I mean, you could almost say that they did have a storyline. Like I said, the Chiefs had so many holding calls that were not called during the Super Bowl. Also, I don't know how true it is because I haven't done the research enough to determine. But there's a statistic that I had seen in which Patrick Mahomes has 63 or something crazy like that interceptions overturned by calls like flags, things like that. Where the next closest to him is Josh Allen, and it's straight up like 10 or something.
Okay.
I think the Chiefs cheated to win the Super Bowl.
Well, see, there you go.
See, they cheated.
And a lot of people thought that was predetermined.
No, not predetermined. I think they cheated.
How do you cheat?
Well, the refs didn't call the calls.
I don't know. I just think
I could show you, like, at least 10 videos of holding at the Super Bowl that Patrick Mahomes should have been sacked on, but the offensive line just held.
I just think things are what they are, and regardless, it was a fun weekend, and, you know, they were very, very nice to me, and I think everybody else, transportation-wise, food-wise, ticket-wise, hotel-wise, everything.
I mean, I'd agree. I don't have any bad words.
Well, like I say, that's the way it goes. So what did you like over the weekend?
I mean, like I said, the whole thing was fun. Like, even WrestleMania was fun. Wrestling's not necessarily my thing. I think my favorite part of WrestleMania was when The Undertaker chokeslammed The Rock, and then that was...
And that was the end.
Yep.
And I think that was what they meant to be the end.
I like The Undertaker. That was about that. I saw The Undertaker come back out, and I was like, that's what's up.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or comments on anything, please feel free to weigh in. We'd love to hear from you. As near as I can tell, the phone lines are working. Now, I'm talking about the other events. What did you like? Independence Hall, Liberty Bell, New York.
Well, I mean, history is kind of my thing, so obviously, I mean, I like the, sorry, I have, like, allergies right now, I like the history, so the Liberty Bell was kind of neat, but we didn't really get to go, like, we took a picture of it through glass, like, I assume you could go in. I saw people in there, so I don't know if there's, like, tours or something, but we didn't, either way, we didn't get up close with the bell. We did get a picture with it, but, we also went to Independence Hall, which is pretty cool. I mean, they have it set up the way that they think it's set up, because apparently there was no, chart of how it was supposed to be set up, so they just kind of took a guess.
Quill pens.
Yes. They had, you know, the what are those things? Quill and ink. They had the little ink wells. I mean, a lot of the stuff at the Independence Hall, I already knew, because American, you know, I feel like the Revolution, I feel like you should probably know some stuff about that.
It was interesting.
I think so.
Yeah, I like the tour.
Like I said, I like the history, so.
We about missed the bus because of the tour.
We did, yeah.
But we made it.
Well, I thought we weren't going to take the tour, and then all of a sudden we were on the tour, and I was like, okay, well.
It was getting close to crunch time to get back for WrestleMania that day. New York.
My least favorite part about New York was having to stop to turn around to wait for you guys.
Well, I think it's because when you're walking, you're usually looking at what's there.
See, like you had said we're going to a destination, so I was like, all right. So I was, you know, moving to that destination, and I turn around and be like, where'd these guys go? And they're like 20 steps behind me.
It was when we were looking.
I like to walk with a purpose.
Cities are different.
Walk with a purpose. I was looking too. I just don't like to meander around.
Where'd you have to be?
Well, where were we going? I was doing it to Rockefeller Center.
I don't think we missed anything.
Who?
I don't think we read a time schedule. I don't think we missed anything that we were supposed to be there to do.
I'm just trying to not waste time.
Well,
I like I said, I like to move with a purpose.
I didn't really want to go back and sit in the hotel room.
I like to move with a purpose.
Okay. Do what you want.
I felt like we did, like, New York was neat, but I felt like we did three things in New York, and then it was like 12 o'clock.
Yeah, it was very quick. Time blew right by.
Most of it was walking.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't really want to drive around New York. We did the subway, we did the cookie place. We did Rockefeller Center. We did Top of the Rock. We did Tavern on the Green. You know, meals don't go fast. We did Park Avenue. We did the Plaza Hotel.
What is Park Avenue?
The Money Street in New York.
Well, I mean, we walked across it, yeah.
Central Park. Park's right there.
We didn't go to Central Park. It was there. We looked at it.
No, we were in it when we were in Tavern on the Green. That's Central Park.
We went into it to get to but we didn't, like, walk around Central Park.
Oh, well, you should have done that at night.
Well, you know what?
You wouldn't be here to tell the story now.
I'm sure I'd be.
All right, we'll be back after this short but important break.
You've had your share of criticism. What do you? How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.